I think that we have there a really rather wonderful moral for our everyday lives. Let the music play. Worries for another day. Guys, something you guys just can't stop worrying, though, I think. Is someone going to talk to us a little bit about the mighty ID card?
Yeah, that's a worrying thing,
it is,
I think.
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's Frog or Rock, really. I mean, we've seen yesterday in the protest people carrying this banner saying official protest. It was actually written down on an ID card. That was rather surprising to see this. But what it's about is that with these ID cards, people will be trackable. Not to talk about that they will be gone really expensive.
I think everybody...
£300 is...
Yeah,
you're going to pay £300 for the pleasure of being given an ID card for government. And, of course, you know, that'll be compulsory, £300.
Obviously, it's compulsory, because if it wasn't, you know, people could just sneak out, like, you could, clandestine.
Do you want an ID card? No? Okay, no. Go on, you don't need one.
Yeah, it's all right. No, they won't do that. You know why they are so expensive, then?
I'm not sure, but surely these are important. Let's think about Fraggle Rock for a second. What were those big troll things called? Anyone remember
big,
that?
I know what you mean.
That were those big troll things.
Yeah,
if
they lived
had
under
ID
Fraggle
cards
Rock.
And closed borders to keep the Fraggles and the troll things apart.
Oh, yeah.
Exciting, you know, trouble they had running away from the troll things, they'd have been fine. Have you got an ID card? Oh, I'm sorry, your ID card tells me that you're a big troll. I'm afraid we're not going to let you into Fraggle Rock.
It's pretty much like the real world, isn't it? Like, they're putting up borders. And
there's some real messages
card,
in there. There really are.
There are messages
well,
in
like,
there.
Well, think about it this way. Say, you know, there are some, you know, authority-type figures within Fraggle Rock, which I don't think there were. I think it was pretty much an anarchist commune they had going on there.
It was, yeah.
Were there some... Anyway,
I think there were elders.
There were elders. And
do we have a workshop in Fraggle then?
No, but we should have.
Yeah, we should.
But anyway. Right. But supposing some of those kind of Fraggles, you know, weren't there, I'm sure there were ones who were a bit crazy, a bit smelly, not so popular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they had slightly different Fraggle skin or something. You know, they were slightly different. And someone
Fraggle
wanted...
skin.
Fraggle skin.
I never thought I'd heard that phrase before. That's great. Fraggle skin.
Fraggle
yeah.
skin. It's in the OED.
OED?
The Oxford English Dictionary.
All right. Cool.
You know,
OED.
Germans. Oh. So
hello.
Yeah, and hello. Hey, yeah. So what was I saying?
Fraggle skin.
Yes.
No, what was
wait,
I saying?
Backtracking slightly. Fraggle skin. Oh yeah.
ID
so you wanted
ID
yeah
cards.
ID cards. You wanted to victimize.
Why
it makes it very easy for minorities to be victimized if they have ID cards because obviously for an ID card scheme to work you have to be carrying them all the time.
Yeah.
And so it makes it very easy to kind of identify the group, the police to identify. Say the word.
See who it is.
Yes, thank you. groups and kind of target them. And, you know, this is something that goes on at the moment, you know, with minority groups being targeted by different people. And if they're even easier to identify and point out, then, you know, it makes their position more and more difficult in
they're
society.
They're always practicing on minority groups, these new inventions. First, they always, you know, do there with them because they usually don't tend to protest. And there's always a majority group who thinks, oh, if it's only the minority group, I don't really have to care. Because they are strange anyway, aren't they?
Filthy strange.
Another thing about the ID card is that the government is saying now it's not compulsory, it's not going to be compulsory to carry it around. But that is probably just you know, going on for a year or two, and then they would introduce the compulsory carrying around bit, because in every other country where ID cards are already existent, people obviously have to carry them around with them.
Let me get back to that. It's kind of step by step.
The one thing that is really interesting is when you get back to that point, why they are so expensive.
Mm.
They're going to be £300 or whatever, you know. It's because they have all these high technology things on them, like fingerprints and iris scan.
DNA.
Like samples on them or whatever, you know. They do all this because actually none of these methods are really reliable. So they're putting 5 or 6 different ones on the ID card to actually be able to track a person down. An identity down, and that's what makes them expensive. So they're ineffective in the end of the day.
I heard a rumour that actually things like facial scanning is less effective on people from ethnic minorities, and that this will give the police an exciting new opportunity to just sort of dish out a little bit more harassment.
Yeah, certainly. And harassment of the police, by the way, is not really pleasant, is it?
Having received a little these last couple of days.
Oh yeah.
Would you like to say a little bit about that? I know we've had some arrests actually yesterday.
We have had a few arrests. I'm not kind of au fait on all the kind of details of the arrest. We've had one guy arrested for spitting, who in the paper says was spitting at a police officer, but he spat on the ground, apparently. So it was a kind of a public order.
Well, isn't that worse? He spat at a Singapore police officer and he can't shoot straight.
He can't even... And he missed.
Surely that should be a separate offence.
Don't!
There's no point in being an anarchist if you can't even hit the policeman.
Yeah.
What does the paper say? Oh, news.
It also says that he got carried away...
What, by the police?
He got carried away.
Carried away by his feelings.
But it did say he was... he did get a bit... actually, I've lost it now. I'll come back to you in a minute.
Okay.
You have definitely lost it. That's
there was a girl arrested.
About the arrest. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there was a girl arrested for threatening behaviour.
Threatening behaviour,
which we have on video, which consisted of dancing to a samba band.
Yeah, that's really threatening.
Pretty threatening. Threatening in the sense that, you know, the protesters were dancing and having fun, and the police all had their arms folded and were jealous.
There was another girl arrested for stepping onto a little wall and shouting out for a friend. She was standing there, hello, where are you? And then this officer came, and he was really keen to get... I got that on video. I got back to him, and like asking him, what is she arrested for? And his only comment was that it was nothing that I need to know. Which is quite interesting, as these officers are supposed to tell you the reason of an arrest, and he didn't. Well, I got his number, and we will publicise his number on Indymedia, obviously, and we'll see how we get.
Is there perhaps a website for Indymedia, Fabian?
Let me think about it.
www.sheffield.indymedia.org.uk, and that has kind of full accounts of all the different actions and things that have been going on today, and kind of it's probably the most complete kind of press account that you'll find, and probably the most accurate as well, because it's usually uploaded by the people involved themselves. So lots of kind of videos and photos. There's audio on there as well. All kinds of stuff going on. So if it's something you want to find out about and see,
everybody can post
lots of pictures of clowns as well, which is always nice.
Mm. I do like a good picture of a clown, and the Sheffield Star today does have a super picture of a clown. That's on page 5 for anyone interested. I think is that Minty Clown, in fact.
Oh, yes. Minty, she takes a very good picture.
So, yes, I think that Minty, who we spoke to earlier, is actually featured in your Sheffield Star today. So if you are that excited, and if Inspector Armitage is interested, then you'll be able to spot her on page 5.
No, Inspector Armitage is mine.
Oh, sorry. So I thought you were sharing.
well, we do like to share, but, you know, don't put the word out just specifically for Minty.
Okay, well, we are on webcam at the moment, so Inspector Armitage, you can get a vision of the private here on the webcam as well. Strongly recommended, if that's actually working, which is possible.
It looks rather like a sunset over the sea, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. It looks a little bit like someone's unplugged their TV aerial, but that's actually a correct interpretation of what we look like. We are pure energy.
We are.
The filthy radicals have discovered the technology to turn ourselves completely into energy, leave these matter forms, and infest the ether. And that is why your webcam broadcast may look slightly less satisfying than you'd been hoping for.
Mm. What on earth are you talking about?
That's a valid question. A very, very, very...
We talked about the workshops that are happening at the Convergence Space, which, you know, are obviously open to the public. It's all very friendly. Come along and find out. Going on all day today, there's a cafe there. There's 15 computers doing internet access on broadband, which has the Indie Media Lab. The cafe is free, donation food. There's food on a donation. That's how it works, right?
Yeah,
and there's lots on tables. You can come along and have some food if you're in town. Please donate. It's, you know, it's hard work for them to run all this stuff. You come along. Who's good with directions?
Well, it's very easy to find. Yeah. If you come to the roundabout... what's on the roundabout? There's the Nelson Pub on the corner at the top of the moor.
Okay.
If you come over to Arundel Gate from the top of the moor, there's that roundabout.
Yeah, and it's the roundabout next to Zero Nightclub, and then there's that charming kind of fast food establishment across from it.
Yes, there are some very charming establishments there. Some of our all-time favourite people have set up shop just there. We'll let you guess who it is, but they do serve beef burgers, and some filthy radicals like to smash them up. We wouldn't endorse that, of course, because smashing things is naughty.
Anyway, so you go straight down away from town, along the road.
Yes, you go down away from town. You come to, I think, the Rutland Pub on one access space.
If you're turning down there, you're one road along from the Rutland, so you won't even see it. You'll be on
Yorkshire Outpost.
You'll be on Matilda Street, which is
Oh, but that's if you go down from the roundabout.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Are you?
Yes.
Stupid me.
Yes.
Do you think anybody will find the place then?
No, not with
these directions, not anymore.
It's Matilda Street, 111. So
111 Matilda Street.
There's
a map and some sensible directions on www.sheffield.descent.org.uk.
But don't read something from that webpage because there's really filthy radical stuff on there.
There's some pretty, very...
Yeah, it might infect your brain.
Warp your innocent little mind.
Sorry.
Yes.
What?
Well, that's...
We have another workshop there at Matilda Street. 100.
Yes.
There's two more workshops today, actually.
Oh, two more. Okay, what do we got?
Yeah. We've got No Border, No Nation, which is done by Sheffield No Borders Group again. And we just will do further, plotting to tear down all the walls and borders.
Okay, but what does that mean, tear down? I mean, what do you mean by that?
Just freedom of movement for everybody, like everybody being a tourist.
So, wait a minute, you're suggesting... We take down all kind of international borders and we let anyone move in and out of any country.
So, as they like, all these
immigrants that you read about in the papers, they can all come in.
They can all come in, yeah.
But
won't
the country get flooded?
Yeah, it will. Might be getting flooded, but I don't really think so because, why would all of them want to live here?
Well, there's this argument that no one really wants, if you think about yourself, would you kind of give up your life, your friends, your job, the place you live, and go and live somewhere else on... £30 a week is the dole you get?
Yeah.
The money you get wouldn't
even
really.
Even if you find a job,
Connect. Well, it's not astonishing, this connection. It's really, really, really obvious that we go and kind of have these wars and we bomb someplace like Afghanistan or Iraq.
Yeah.
And then, strangely, lots of people go, no, I want to move. And they kind of have to risk their lives to try and get out away from this place because it's been bombed flat.
Most of the asylum seekers are actually from Afghanistan or Iraq at the moment.
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, and before that, lots of Kurdish people who was the kind of main thing for asylum seekers. It's places where we go and bomb that people have to move away from.
There's another interesting thing about this analogy of people moving freely or not freely. Portugal, which is part of the European Union, and therefore people can, is much poorer than many other countries in the European Union. And we don't have any mass migration from Portugal into richer European Union countries, do we? So, once borders are open, actually that's one thing that really history tells us as well. Once you open borders and people are free to move as they like, they just make a usual, a rational decision about it. Whereas if you have a border that actually attracts people to move because they don't really have an impression of what the other place is like, they only hear rumors, they can't really go there. This is kind of contradictional. The borders is attracting this attention in the first place.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, in a related note, like the actual historical introduction of borders in England, immigration controls was in the...
It was 100 years ago.
100 years ago, yeah.
Only 100 years ago they started.
The product of a campaign by the far right, by the...
Anti-Semite.
The anti-Semite group, kind of pre-Mosley fascists who... wanted to keep the Jews out.
Exactly.
And this was their campaign. And if you replace Jews with, whoever else the Daily Mail are kind of campaigning against at the moment, the language didn't really change very much from what people are saying now.
We can...
So it's interesting that Mosley actually described border controls in Britain as the one great victory of the British fascists of enshrining some of their ideas into our kind of former political organisations. So,
yeah, completely true.
I mean, this really tells you something about border controls. That's where they came from, It's very true. Okay, so what else have we got?
We have another workshop then on Blair's Africa Gambit, which is, what is that again? We've been talking about that before, really. It's about, this story that dropping debt is, I've been dropping debt already, and I haven't.
So this is true about the way that Tony Blair, being offered more microphones there, rather exciting for me. That's the story that Tony Blair has decided that his mission, the sort of way he's going to redeem his reputation for all history, is to save Africa.
Yeah.
And he's got a little bit messianic about this. So maybe
it's kind of bomb Iraq, save Africa, balances out.
It sounds fair.
Yeah, it sounds fair. Africa's bigger than Iraq as well, so it sort of gives him some extra to deal with. If he saves Africa and he's bombed Iraq, there's more Africa been saved than Iraq has been bombed. So I reckon... that's my kind of historical analysis. Someone might question it.